Hey, everybody. Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. We'll recap the big game and chat through some of the game's biggest moments and our bets. Plus, we'll give you our way too early picks for next year's Super Bowl. We'll talk some NFL news and some spring training. And you know it, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way in the association tonight. But first, let's welcome in our friend, Kenny Betts Big. Kenny, how are we doing?
Doing good. Coming off one of my biggest Super Bowl wins of all time. Ooh. On the Kansas City Chiefs. So right. Feeling good. Clients love me this week.
That's always good.
How are you feeling? We got so much to catch up on. You were a big celebrity last week down at Super Bowl Row, huh?
No, but thank you for thinking that. No, yeah, it was so great. Shout out to Caesars and of course Omaha for sending me out there. And so we did our podcast out there. We had some really great guests. We had Cousin Sal and Martin Weiss stop by. Danny was out there with the Caesars Sportsbook truck. He was working with the Caesars people. We had him on a couple times to give out some bets. And just, we had the guys from the Sports Gambling Podcast on. It was just so fun. And the Caesars booth was such a vibe. I feel like everybody was kind of congregating around there. And it was honestly just so much fun. And, you know, I was out there with CBS too, so I was able to do some stuff for them. It was my first time at a Super Bowl media week. And it was just such a cool experience. And like, look, I was just happy to be invited. You know what I mean? I feel like I was like lowest of the totem pole of all the people that were there, but I was just happy and excited to be there. And it was super fun. And I really am mostly glad that the Eagles lost.
Yeah, I bet. I was going to ask, was that the first time you've been to like the media week for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was the first time that I've ever been to the media week. Now, I didn't get to go to the game, which is so funny because every time you tell someone I'm going to the Super Bowl, they obviously rightfully assume that you're going to the game. I'm like, no, everything but. But I also thought that I'd be like out partying. There were so many cool parties that were happening and I was just tired the whole time from working. So I went out. Maybe I know. It's like you think that you're going to be this like party animal while you're there. And then you realize when you have to like actually speak about gambling and betting and sound intelligent that it's not really an easy thing to do. So didn't end up partying as much as I thought I would or as much as I wanted to. But yeah, I mean, the weather was nice. Now I'm back here on the East Coast and it's a little chilly. A little chilly.
Yeah. So I guess you missed the weather last week. It was actually a little warmer out here on the East Coast for a few days. It was a warm front, but for anyone listening, you know, take the hat off to Katie because, you know, I know Katie from social media where she started on Instagram and, you know, I don't want to get all sap here, but you truly an inspiration because, it's not easy to break into the media world. Right. And to see like every time I would turn it on, you were all over there with, you know, Moxie Betts and the CBS stuff. So yeah, congratulations on that because it's a big step in the right direction for you.
Thank you so much, Kenny. And I'm so grateful to have you along the ride with me. Let's talk Super Bowl. Now, I know that one of your biggest bets this season was on the Chiefs to win the AFC. You said in our pre-show that Chiefs winning was one of your biggest bets also here for the Super Bowl. What an incredible game, right? 38-35. Some questionable things happen. I know a lot of Eagles fans are complaining about the hold that Bradbury admitted that he did. And I actually had a guy DM me. So Bradbury admitted that it was a hold. And was it the most egregious hold there ever was? No, but technically, was it a hold? Yes, he said I tugged on his jersey. And so he admitted it. And all I did was share the quote that he admitted. And this guy was like, he was like, wow, Katie, I used to like you. That call was such BS. You just sound like a 40-winer. I'm like, bro, what did I do to you? Bradbury just said it was a hold. He said it was a hold. And you're like, oh, I used to like you. I'm like, what is going on here? But look, if anyone understands what it's like to be emotional after a loss, it's me. But I will say I have several good friends who are Eagles fans and I love them so much. And my heart bleeds for them. And if the Eagles would have won, I would have been happy for them specifically. But the Eagles fandom as a whole is just brutal. And look, that's not no surprise to them. They appreciate that about themselves. They like that about themselves. But, you know, it's one of those franchises that you don't really root for.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that. They relish being the most hated fan base.
Exactly.
I did, you know, I know you've done like the tailgate out in Philly, and I did one in the preseason game where they played the Jets. And that was one of the questions I was just asking them, you know, how does it feel being a fan of the Eagles and, you know, everyone hates you guys? And every single one of them said the same thing. We love it. We live for this. So, yeah, it's, you know, tough game to lose.
They love
tough
it
way to
until
lose
they
game.
Lose. And then all of a sudden they're really sour against you. And you're like, I'm sorry, I thought you liked not being liked. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. What did you think of the actual game? I think it was one of the best Super Bowls we've seen. And I will say Jalen Hurts, phenomenal, except for the drop that he had there, which kind of reminded me of Josh Johnson for the 49ers. He was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts, you know, you got to tip your hat to that guy because he played an amazing football game. Some of those throws he were, you know, I know he got a lot of heat for his last throw at the end there, you know, which
the
we
Hail
all know
Mary?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I guess you could call it that.
I know. It hit the ground, but like that's the throw people are, it's like, it wasn't happening either way, but yeah.
Yeah. But he, you know, he's getting a little criticism on that because I guess he doesn't have the big arm that we see some of these other, you know, top tier quarterbacks have. But I mean, the guy did no wrong. Some of those throws he hit to Dallas Goedert, like on the sideline, were you couldn't have thrown the ball any better.
Yeah.
He did himself no wrong. Obviously, I think
three rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I went into that game. I've always liked Jalen Hurts, but he definitely showed me like he can throw the ball too, like really good. Like he's not just a running quarterback, right? Like, what did you think of his overall game? Just take the running out of it.
I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. You know, overall game for first of all, I had the under on his yards because he hadn't been really throwing the ball very much, and he sailed over that one, completions, all of those things. And so the game script was a little bit surprising to me. I thought they were throwing the ball much more than they were going to. Now, him, I had him 100% for one rushing touchdown. It was at plus money for most of the week too, which was the craziest thing in the world. And we also had him for two. Alan Bell and I at Sportsline were talking about it. So we had him for two. No, I didn't predict three. I mean, that's crazy. But, you know, he is a force to be reckoned with. And I do think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes after the game said, if there were any doubts, there shouldn't be any anymore. And I think he's 100% right. Jalen Hurts is, as the kids say, is him. You know, he is that guy. And I think that Eagles fans have a lot to look forward to in the future, having that guy under center.
Do you think going forward, like, you know, GMs and, you know, owners are going to try and, you know, find a quarterback like a Jalen Hurts or a Justin Fields, because we're seeing these guys have great success in the NFL, right? You know, it was always, they wanted the typical prototypical Tom Brady, the pocket passer. But now we're seeing a lot of these more athletic quarterbacks have a lot of success at the next level.
Well, that's been the trend for a while now, though. I mean, it was Colin Kaepernick, one of the first ones. It was Cam Newton that was doing it. And then, of course, Lamar Jackson. And then now, you know, the only thing with the running quarterbacks, though, is I feel like, I mean, don't get mad at me, people, but sometimes they're a little bit of flash in the pan. They have one great season, and then, you know, defenses start to kind of figure them out. We saw it happen with Colin Kaepernick. You know, Cam Newton didn't really last too long when he was doing. Lamar Jackson keeps getting injured. He hasn't been able to play, you know, the last part of the season for a couple years now. So you got to worry about injuries and also just kind of being figured out, because when your offense runs through one person, you know, either throwing the ball or running it in, it gets, you know, sometimes a little bit easier to figure out. So I haven't seen longevity with one of these dual threat quarterbacks yet. I mean, they're still pretty young. I do think that the old way of staying in the pocket and staying protected helps you last a lot longer. And but look, it's more fun to watch the mobile quarterbacks. I'll say that.
Definitely more fun. Some of those runs that, you know, Justin Fields and even Jalen Hurts, like three rushing touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he
unheard of.
Give the guy his flowers.
Give the guy his flowers. Okay. Well, speaking, there was another quarterback in the game who was just as good. And a lot of people, you know, I've seen a lot of tweets that Jalen Hurts should be the MVP. That's not how this works. You got to win the game to get MVP. And Patrick Mahomes was also absolutely phenomenal. I thought that he was going to be out of the game right before the second half when he was limping. I don't know what they shot him up with, what kind of Toradol or whatever happened. But every time he goes down, they do something on the sideline, and all of a sudden he comes back almost looking like 80%. And but he had just he's just clutch. just clutch. He ended up joining elite company with Tom Brady and Joe Montana as the only quarterbacks with two Super Bowl wins, two MVPs, and two Super Bowl MVPs in the same year. What do you think of Patty?
He's him, right?
Yeah, he's him. They are both them.
Patrick Mahomes, man. What more can you say about the guy, right? Five AFC championship games, three Super Bowls, two Super Bowl wins, two Super Bowl MVPs. You know, there's obviously the big debate going around right now in the sports media world is, if Patrick Mahomes never played another game, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? What do you think?
I hate these kind of questions. Is he a first ballot? I mean, yeah, actually he is. When you look at the accolades and the awards that he has racked up in a short amount of time, it's more than a lot of quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame. So, and maybe not a lot of them, but certainly some of them. So yeah, I do think that. And I think that the Chiefs are building a dynasty. We may see them up with, you know, the Patriots and the Niners and the Steelers and the Cowboys having, you know, at least a hand worth of rings there.
Yeah. And it's funny. I didn't even think about, because obviously the Chiefs won and Mahomes played such a great game, I didn't even think about the fact that Jalen Hurts could have still won the MVP. What would you think if they gave him the MVP trophy there in that situation? Because he did play.
It would have been fine by me. It would have been fine by me. I mean, it's just not how it works. You kind of have to win the game to get the MVP. I don't know if there's ever been a losing team where somebody got the MVP. I'll have to look that up. I don't think so. But if Jalen Hurts got it, I wouldn't be shocked or upset about it. I think they both played phenomenal games. And in a lot of ways, Jalen Hurts had a flashier game because, again, you're actually the one running in those. I mean, he had most of their touchdowns were him running in there. So it's hard to say that. It's like, let's say that it was reversed and it was Patrick Mahomes but it was Travis Kelce that ran in those three or that got three touchdowns in one game. The argument could be made that maybe Travis Kelce could have been MVP over Mahomes. I think people really obviously value touchdowns. I wouldn't have been mad about it. What would you have thought?
No, yeah. He cashed the octopus for the people. That was a big bet. People were high on the octopus. If Mahomes, I think it probably would have been more discussed. I wouldn't have been mad at that at all, because I think that was one of the better games I've seen someone play in a really long time. And, you know, we've seen some really big games from some really good players over the years. But what he was doing, because even when the Chiefs grab all the momentum and they go up eight, what was it, like early in the fourth quarter? I kind of thought, I was like, oh, the Eagles are done. Like, you know, they got no chance here. And then Jalen Hurts takes them right down the field, scores the touchdown, runs in the 2-point conversion. So yeah, he couldn't be stopped. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit before about how the ref making that call, it was the right call, but it's just so unfortunate that it happened in that moment, because I would have really liked to see the Eagles get a chance to come down the field and answer, you know, kind of like last year with in the Bills game with the Chiefs. We didn't get to see Josh Allen, you know, respond and what would have been.
I agree. And, you know, obviously fans are emotional. Again, I'm emotional. I get it. It took me 2 or 3 weeks to get over what happened with the 49ers. But that was an entirely different story because we didn't have a quarterback. But don't even get me started on that. But, you know, a lot of the tweets and things were like, you can't call it at that moment. You can't. It's not like the ref is sitting there. They see a hole and they're like, not at this moment. Like, if you see something, say something. Okay. It's just like at the airport. They got to call whatever it is that they see. Bradbury admitted that it was a hold. And, you know, and like you said too, it's unfortunate that it happened in that moment. Well, Bradbury shouldn't have tugged on his jersey in that moment. You know, you got however many seconds on the clock and you got a chance to potentially come down the field yourself, and then you hold. So it's like, nobody wants to give the blame there with the guy that actually admits it. And by the way, I'm not blaming him for the loss on this game. There were plenty of opportunities and things that could have happened for the Eagles to win this game. Do you think though, that the Eagles will be back in the Super Bowl soon? Will Jalen Hurts get a ring? I kind of think, yes, although I still think they would have lost to the 49ers if we were healthy, but, you know, I'm biased.
Yeah. you had to throw that one in there, right?
I just had to say it, Kenny.
No, yeah. It's an interesting question. And, you know, one, like you said, you know, these mobile quarterbacks, sometimes they're that flash in the pan. What is Jalen Hurts going to do next year? We just saw him have this amazing season this year. Can he do it another year, another year, another year? Because that's what makes someone, you know, good or great. I mean, they have the pieces. They have, right? Like, they have all the players. The defense was historically good this year. Over 70 sacks.
But then did not get a single sack in the Super Bowl.
I told you the Chiefs offensive line was going to play.
Yeah, I told you
they were going to come to play.
Yeah, well, they heard all of the noise about all the sacks and how, you know, the KC O-line was going to be overmatched, and they took that personally. And the fact that they were able to hold them, and Hassan Reddick was virtually non-existent in that game, which pissed me off because I had him for the first sack at plus 700. I also had him for their most sacks in the game at plus 440, and homeboy got zero. Absolutely none.
I guess Hurts got sacked on a fumble. I was going to say, I don't even remember many sacks in that game, which is funny because the Chiefs were the number two team in the NFL in sacks this year. So,
yeah, exactly. So it was that was crazy. I thought there was no sacks. I thought he just dropped the ball on the fumble, or that was just his drop.
I don't know if they credited him one.
I don't think they did. I think there was like no sacks at all in this game. We'll have to look that one up. But all right, so how do we do on our bets? Obviously, you were on, were you Chiefs spread or Chiefs money line?
Chiefs money line. And then I had a future ticket for them to win the Super Bowl at plus 365 from right before playoffs. Yeah. And so I hit those two. The money line was, for people listening, I went 10 units on that. I don't, you know, maybe people are not familiar with
that. Was that
what
your monster whale mega play?
Yeah. You see all these cappers on social media, the triple whale max lock.
Yeah.
I guess technically that's what it would be. But yeah, it was just a big bet for my clients and I. So yeah, they were pretty happy with that. And then I had two teasers. I won one and I lost one. I just teased the Chiefs up with the over and then the under.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, ton of points in that game. I wasn't expecting that many points.
Yeah, I was on Chiefs money line as well, and that was a sweat, but a fun one. I was on the under, which was toast in the first quarter. I definitely didn't see that one hitting after they both just marched down the field and scored right away. In terms of player props, I had Kelce to score the first touchdown for KC. That was at plus 300, so that was really exciting. And then I lost a bunch of smaller ones. Like I had Pacheco over his receiving yards, which he wasn't really used that much as a receiver. But he had a great game on the ground. And I had Hurts under his passing yards, which that definitely didn't end up hitting. And then of course the sack props and the defensive props, which didn't end up hitting, but I ended up in the green because all the things that I won were at like massive plus money, and all the things that I lost were, you know, your minus 120s, minus 110 or so. So it ended up being a pretty good Super Bowl for me. And I got the coin toss right. Tails.
Yeah. What did you think of the halftime show? Did you like it?
I love Rihanna. Okay. So don't come at me. I love Rihanna, and I thought that it was a beautiful statement to perform pregnant because, you know, women can do everything. It seemed to me a little low energy from her, and I think a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that she's got to keep her baby safe, you know? And the dancers were great, but to me, you know, when you look at people like Shakira or Jennifer Lopez or even last year's ensemble, I mean, these people go at it and they really perform. And I didn't feel like Rihanna gave us that. So it was not my favorite Super Bowl performance. I thought it was a little bit sleepy. But I thought that the statement that she made was good, but I would have rather had someone that could really like get out there and perform. It didn't seem like she cared. What'd you think?
Yeah. I'm not a big Rihanna fan actually, but I actually thought it was really good. I thought she killed it. I was surprised. I agree with the low energy. But she's Rihanna, you know, she can do whatever the hell she wants, I guess. Right.
And that is kind of what I like about her. Like fans, to be fair, that is what I like about her. Fans have been mad at her for years for not coming out with new music. They're like, oh, you're doing another lingerie line. You're putting out more makeup. Where's the music? And she basically tells everyone to F off because she just wants to live her life. And then here she is being like, I'm on the biggest stage of the world. I'm Rihanna. Y'all are just happy to see me anyways. Like who cares? And I'm just going to give low, minimal effort, and announce my baby in the biggest way possible on the biggest stage, and y'all will be happy with what you get. And for the most part, yes, we were very happy with what we got. And her catalog of music is amazing. And I know a lot of people won and lost money on her first song, but the fact that it was Bitch Better Have My Money is, you know, perfect one for gamblers, actually. It's like, why didn't we think to have that one? Yeah. But
yeah. Right. Know. Oh man. I don't even want to talk about the halftime betting show because I got done so dirty this year. I have a buddy. I'm not going to drop any names because, you know,
okay. Who knows,
but last year he says, hey, I have a friend. He works on the production team for the halftime show. This is what you need to bet. So I said, all right, cool. I bet it all. They all hit.
Last year.
But I went small last year because I was like, I don't know. Is this guy bullshitting me? What's going on here?
Right.
This year hits me up the day before. Hey, man, I got the locks for you again. Of course, this time I go even bigger than I did last year.
Yeah, because you think he knows. You think you have an insider.
Exactly. And as I'm putting these bets in, I'm thinking to myself, these are such dumb bets because it was Drake is going to be there and Jay-Z is going to be there. And I'm thinking in my head, like, there's no way Drake's coming out for this halftime show.
She didn't bring anybody out. Yeah.
Yeah. Why would she? She's Rihanna. She's the biggest name there. Like, why would she take away from her moment? So that was the unfortunate betting story for me.
I do think it would have been more fun if she brought more people out there. I don't know. I thought it was a boring performance, but you know, whatever. All right, let's talk NFL news. So Derek Carr is not waiving his no trade clause with the Raiders, and his guaranteed vesting date is today at like 3 or 4 p.m. So just a few hours away. Raiders obviously likely to release him, then get him that guaranteed money later this afternoon. Apparently only one team was interested in a trade and they wanted Carr to take a pay cut. He wasn't exactly interested in that. Where do you think Derek Carr goes? There was some reports that he was visiting the Saints in New Orleans, which I think would actually be a very good fit for him. He's got some weapons there. They've got a good defense.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say the Saints because I saw that he was just meeting with them. I think last week it was. I could see the Saints. The Texans, how funny would the Texans be? Cause his brother went there. he's not going there.
Or then he'd be with D'Amico Ryans. Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. But the Texans drafted his brother first overall and pretty much ruined his brother's career. Cause they couldn't keep him safe. Yeah. He just too many sacks, but yeah, I think the Saints seems like the most logical fit. When you look around, the Aaron Rodgers is tied to the Jets, you know, they are the Jets. So who knows if they'll actually pull that off or not, but, the Saints, yeah, they have Olave. Who knows what's going on with Michael Thomas. Is he playing? Is he not playing? I don't know.
That guy has got to be the most frustrating, like I would never sign him to a fantasy league anymore. And, you know, just for Saints fans, like what a bust. Ultimately.
And it's unfortunate because he's not a bust in the typical bust sense where it's not because he's not performing on the field, right? Like a Jamarcus Russell. He came in, had one of the best seasons we've seen at the wide receiver position, and then just hasn't played since. So and it's weird. It's kind of like similar to that like Kawhi Leonard injury. Remember that a few years ago?
Yeah, because some of it with Michael Thomas feels self-inflicted. He didn't get the surgery when they wanted him to get the surgery, and then he was out longer, and then, you know, things start piling on. But yeah, Kawhi Leonard is the same thing where there's so much promise and they're so good, but they're just never healthy. They can just never play when health is wealth. Another big news today is the Colts announced that they've hired Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator of the Eagles, as their new head coach. So Jeff Saturday, I think, is going back to ESPN. What do you think of this hire?
I think it's all right. Ooh. I mean, I just...
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because, the Eagles had a pretty phenomenal offense this year.
They did, but Sirianni is also, you know, an offensive-minded coach. They have tons of pieces on that offensive, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, of course that guy's going to look great. He has Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders, you know, Dallas Goedert, all these pieces, the best offensive line in football. So, yeah, I think there's better options out there.
If you were the GM, who would you have rather come to the Colts?
Again, I'm shocked. And maybe he doesn't want to leave the situation, but the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, like, you know, I know he's been a name that's been thrown around the last few years. I haven't heard much about him as a candidate this year, though. So
that is interesting. Yeah, maybe he wants to stay and run it back for another year. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll head into Capper's Corner. The thing about Caesars Sportsbook is it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows. Caesars Palace, I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars Rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet, up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No win to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369. Offer not available in Ohio or Maryland.
Looking to reduce the fees for your restaurant deliveries? DashPass by DoorDash is the easiest way to unlock savings on your latest cravings on every eligible order. DashPass is a membership from DoorDash that offers unlimited $0 delivery fees from thousands of eligible restaurants, grocery stores, and convenience stores. Once you join, you'll save on each eligible order and receive DoorDash credits back on all pickup orders. That means more money back in your wallet. Get what you want when you need it without any upfront commitments. You'll have the ability to cancel your membership at any time with no hidden or additional fees. You'll also enjoy the best of your neighborhood as you discover the new and best places near you. Get 50% off up to $20 value on your next Dash Pass order when you sign up for membership and redeem Moxie at checkout. That's 50% off your first Dash Pass order up to $20 value with Moxie. Say goodbye to delivery fees. Get Dash Pass from DoorDash today using Moxie. When you've got zero delivery fees, you're free to get more because you can. Start your free month trial today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back. Time now for Capper's Corner, and we welcome back Kenny Betts Big. Let's move forward with the Super Bowl for next year. The season is barely over, but it's never too early to talk about what's going to happen next year. And these odds, Kenny, are very interesting to me. So the Chiefs are the odds-on favorite at plus 575 to repeat. And then guess where it goes? Guess where it goes, people? It's not the Eagles. It's not the Bills. It's the 49ers at plus 650. And then we go to the Bills, plus 700. And then the Eagles, the team that was just in the Super Bowl, is the third odds-on favorite, plus 800. Then you go Bengals at 900. And somehow the Cowboys, I don't know why they're in this, but plus 1600. What do you think of these odds? One, the Chiefs to repeat, duh, that makes sense, right? Plus 575. Of course, they're going to be. And honestly, getting them right now might be a good time because I think that's closer to the season. That's going to go down a lot more. They just make the most sense as the favorite. The 49ers, look, as a 49er fan, I'm stoked by this. It's a little bit interesting, though, considering we don't know who the quarterback is going to be and what the health and everything looks like. If it's Trey Lance, these numbers, you might get better value on it later. And Brock Purdy, we'll have to see what's going on with him or if they get a veteran quarterback. So that one is interesting to me, but I do think that they have all of the pieces in line. I don't know why we're still putting the Bills in the top three at this point, okay? Like, they're not going to do it. I was high on the Bills this year. I was high on the Bills last year. I'm not doing it again. But sorry, I feel like I just talked myself off of a ledge there. What do you think of these?
Finally, you've come over to the dark side and you've realized that the Buffalo Bills are not it. And Josh Allen is not him. We'll use that reference as many times as we can on this show.
He is H-I. I think the M sometimes is missing.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs are interesting because, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs with Andy Reid are almost getting into that rare air of the Patriots with Tom Brady, where they're almost in the game every other year at this point, right? He's been to three out of five seasons. Yes. Tom Brady, it seemed like every other year he would either win it or he would get there. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like you can't be mad at the Chiefs, you know, because if you take them, at this point, you have 100% chance of getting to the AFC championship game.
Yes, 100% chance. Yes.
Yeah. So the Chiefs are not bad if you're looking at the AFC side. And I think the Bengals are interesting too at plus 900. Like Joe Burrow, that offense, I think they're only going to get better. You know, I'm sure they'll make a couple moves in the offseason to bolster up the offensive line.
They have got to get a better O-line. Yeah.
Yeah. Have to. I think they're interesting. Do you think the Niners should be there at the second choice, or what do you think of them this year?
Yes and no. One, they have all of the pieces since Christian McCaffrey came. The team has just been incredible. And we're holding on to a lot. I mean, we got to pay some people in the offseason, but the quarterback situation is still a question mark. So it's so interesting to me that they're at number two, because if it's Trey Lance, not that I don't like the kid, but I don't know what he can do. And Brock Purdy, he should be able to go by training camp, which would be great. And I have a lot of faith in Brock Purdy. I think that we could have gone to the Super Bowl this year with him. But interesting, you know, what you say about Patrick Mahomes and being kind of like the Patriots were because of the quarterback. That's kind of the issue, with the 49ers. We've had Jimmy Garoppolo that's been really good for us, and we've kind of seen what Brock Purdy can do. And I don't know if you heard a lot of the 49ers players, specifically George Kittle, and they were talking about who's going to be the quarterback next year. Everybody's on the Brock Purdy train. They're like, it's Brock Purdy's job to lose. All those guys respect him. I think they think that they can win behind him. And the quarterback really is just the missing piece for this 49ers to kind of pick up with where the Chiefs are, but of course do it in the NFC. I think it's really interesting that the Eagles, who had one of the best records in the NFL this year, won a bunch of games by blowouts and almost were very close to winning a Super Bowl, are the third favorite. Do you feel like that's a little disrespectful, the fact that the Bills and the 49ers are above them?
The Bills definitely should not be above the Eagles. I wonder if that just has anything to do with the fact we talked about it in the summer, how the NFC East is kind of like a revolving door. We don't usually see one team just kind of dominate the division, right? Year in, year out. So I wonder if that maybe has anything to do with it. You know, like they just kind of think maybe the Giants will get better, the Cowboys will get a little better and kind of beat up on each other. But yeah, I still think the NFC is wide open. Like the NFC is weak. When you look at the quarterbacks that are on the AFC side, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, now you can put him in that category.
Well, that's a gauntlet of. And who else?
Who else?
Josh Allen. I mean, I know you say he's not him, but he's a damn good quarterback.
He is when he's not trying to do too much. But again,
when he's not turning the ball over,
And you pointed this out though to me a couple weeks ago. Like Brian Daboll leaving that team could be a big impact on Josh Allen. Yeah. Like he doesn't have his guy, and then we look at how good was Daniel Jones this year when the only difference was getting Brian Daboll. So, you know, does Josh Allen continue to regress now that he's another year removed without that, you know, quarterback coach?
Yeah. So right now I would say, you know, I take the Chiefs plus 575 for a repeat because I think that value is actually pretty good right now. I think it's only going to go down. The 49ers, I love it. I don't know if I would necessarily bet it yet because I don't know what the quarterback situation is. I'm definitely not touching the Bills. The Eagles, if you think that they can repeat it, I think there's some good value on this now. And like you said, long shot wise, I do like the Bengals because despite in the AFC championship game, they've been the kryptonite for these Chiefs. Joe Burrow just knows how to go and win, even in Arrowhead. So I think that the Bengals, if they could just get some better protection, which it's been 3 years now of people saying that, and they upgrade it a tiny bit and then everybody's happy, but y'all need to do a lot better. Y'all need to get yourselves a Trent Williams. But I like them as a long shot. If you had to bet this today, you'd take in the Chiefs?
If I had to bet it today, yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. Prisoner of the moment. They just won me a lot of money. They have Patrick Mahomes still. So yeah, I'd probably take the Chiefs. But if I'm looking at like the odds, I think the Bengals are probably the most enticing to me just because they're like plus 900, 950 right now in Caesars Sportsbook. And, you know, I kind of have to think like for the next years to come, it's going to be Chiefs Bengals battling it out in that AFC side. I think the Chargers at plus 2200 are interesting. You know, I think getting a better coach in there for Justin Herbert is going to make a big, big difference for that team. You know what? The most surprising one to me, though, is the Lions. Why are they only plus 2,500?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they had a hell of a season, especially, you know, started off kind of slow, really, really ticked up. Jared Goff was, I don't like to give a lot of credit to Jared Goff, but he was playing out of his mind and really, really good. And, you know, they're well coached. They're a fun, frisky team. They got to figure out how to win more close games. You know, they're usually on the losing side of that. But once they figure that out, they're going to have a hell of a record.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, and they got the draft picks from the Rams this year, right? Yeah. So they got some good picks, but who?
I think, that the Lions are going to win several Super Bowls before the Rams ever get there again.
Wow. All right.
They went for broke. They went for broke and they got their ring, which is exactly what they wanted, but they are just trash now and demolished. And I think that the Lions will have two Super Bowls before the Rams ever get back.
Do you think
that's my hot take?
You're my 40. Or it could be your freezing cold take. Maybe we'll see on the media page.
Right now it's hot. And then, somebody will clip it and save it. And then 2 years from now, when the Rams win a Super Bowl, they'll be like, remember when you said this 2 years ago?
And I'll say, yes. And they'll call you 40 whiner again.
That honestly, Kenny, it's just the crazy. All I did was share a quote of the guy admitting that it was a holding. He was like, that's BS, Katie. I used to like you. You're too much of a 40 whiner. I'm like, dude, I know you're emotional, but what are you talking about here? Like, what's actually happening? But yeah, look, and I said
it's funny
it too.
That like, people think like, it's funny that like the social media is so interesting in the sense of like, it empowers people to say things that they would never say in any other situation of life. But it also just, it's like this like cloak of this shield that they feel like they can just kind of say what they want to who they want and then nothing will happen.
Well, and also like telling me that you no longer like me. I don't even know who you are. Do you know what I mean? Okay, see ya, you know, which is just like the funniest thing, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. So football is over. We could cry and I probably will. I feel like today is the first day where it starts to set in. Yesterday, people are a little bit hungover. You're still high from, you know, winning all of your bets, hopefully, or you're still stung from the loss. And so you're still feeling, or you're traveling, whatnot, like I was. And today is the day where it's like, oh, wow. Football is really over, which is depressing, but we still have basketball. So why don't we get into some mocks, locks for the NBA, although I know that you're a college bettor as well. So if you've got some college locks, let me know, but I will go first. I'm taking the Bucks minus -9 versus the Celtics. Now, Boston is the best team in the NBA right now, but they're extremely shorthanded. No Jaylen Brown. Something's going on with his face. No Marcus Smart. Ankle. Jason Tatum has some kind of an illness and he's listed as doubtful and they've got a bunch of other injuries as well. And when I was looking at stats today, when Tatum, Brown and Smart are not on the floor, the Celtics have really, really struggled. In fact, this spread opened up at 4 and ballooned, there's the word I'm looking for, all the way up to minus 9.5. Now, right now it's settled on 9 at Caesars and they scored just 107.9 points per 100 possessions. Now the Bucks are really hot right now. They've won 10 games in a row. They're just one loss behind the Celtics for the top seed in the East. And like I said about the big three being out for the Celtics, when the big three are in for the Bucks, Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, they finally got some health back. They score 122.2 points per 100 possession. So we're already hitting this 9 right there. So give me the Bucks to cover the 9 tonight versus a very, very shorthanded Celtics team.
I like that one a lot because I think a lot of people forget how good that Bucks team is because Middleton hasn't been healthy for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think?
I like that spot for them. I'm going to go college. I'm going to go Providence plus 1.5. Big East battle. They're playing Creighton.
Wow, they're at spread. Home.
Yeah. These teams met about a month ago, but they played in Creighton. Creighton won by 6, so Providence covered as a 7-point road dog. But in that game, they shot like under 40% from the field. They shot under 20% from three, and they lost a tight game on the road. So I'm expecting them to bounce back here at home, where they're one of the best teams. They're 13-0 at home this year. They're 37-4 straight up at home over the last three seasons. So yeah, I like Providence to cover, and I think they get the win outright, honestly, as short home dogs.
Well, if they're 13-0 at home, yeah, and then they're home dogs, and it seemed like they just had a bad game in the last matchup. It's a tight spread like that. I love it. Okay, I might tell that one with you. I am looking at the Wizards versus the Blazers now, and I like the over 57.5 in the first quarter. So low-key, the Wizards are first quarter kings when it comes to cashing overs. They're not great in full games. When it comes to the over, they're 28-27-1. But in the first quarter, Kenny, they're 40-16 on the over in the first quarter, averaging 58.7 points per game. Timberwolves also start pretty strong. They are 32-28 on the over, and they average 58.98. So both of these numbers are over that 57.5. And the Wizards, 40-16 on the over in the first quarter. Yeah, gotta ride that train.
Yeah, that's it's funny because a couple of years ago, someone told me something very similar. It was like a Nuggets game. They just kept betting the first quarter overs for the Nuggets, and they literally were just cash cows all season. So you might be onto something here. And I feel like, well, the Blazers are a team. They shoot a lot of threes.
Yes, and I've made a lot of money on Knicks in the first half, only betting them in the first half, and sometimes in the second quarter money line or first quarter money line, depending on who they're playing. And that's been very profitable. Sometimes you got to look at those things. And I just discovered today that the Wizards are the first quarter kings to the over. So it's my first time betting it. We'll see if this works for us or not.
Not something you hear too often. You're making a lot of money betting on the Knicks.
only in the first half. They fall apart in the second half. But if you bet them, Kenny, in the first half, they are the best first half team in the NBA. They fall apart in the third and fourth quarter. You know, don't ever bet them full game on anything. But I'm telling you, first half and second quarter, they are money.
All right. Next Knicks game, I'm going to ride it with you. I'll text you if it doesn't hit. So.
Yes. And then I'll just call you the Knicks mush. Okay. You did it for the 49ers. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. All right. What's your second bet?
Next game, we're going to stick with college. We're going to go Oklahoma money line. They're at home. They're playing Kansas State, who's 19-6 this year. They're one of the best teams in the country. Okay. But they've dropped three out of their last four games. And they're on the road here. And the game is a pick 'em. This is one of those games where, you know, people will ask me, like, Kenny, what are you looking at here? Like, why do you like Oklahoma? And there's not much. I can't tell you much. But this line is what it is for a reason. Right. The odds maker said it here, right? Oklahoma been playing terrible, terrible basketball as of late. They've lost four straight games. But as we know, basketball is a game of runs. Eventually, teams start to, you know, get out of those slumps and they play better. So I like Oklahoma to bounce back here, you know, playing bad as of late. But I think they turn it around and get the win here at home.
All right. So you're going with two dogs, right? No, I guess this line's a pick-em, so it's not necessarily a dog. All right. Kenny Betts Big, thank you so much for joining us. We missed you last week. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBetts, and we'll see you next time.